It's December 13th, and we are just 12 days from Christmas. Welcome to Conversations with John and Lisa. Lisa, I'm really excited about Christmas this year.
Yeah, I am too. I'm so glad. I was worried you were going to start singing on the 12 days of Christmas. I'm really glad.
Have I sung yet on a podcast?
You know, I would prefer that not happen.
I mean, we have a tradition that I sing to my partners every year.
And I was at the gym
last night and actually had partners come over saying,
you
we
one
loved
person,
your singing.
One person.
Well, it was one person. That's true.
It's not plural.
But my sons were amening them. So they even remembered the song that I sang. And so I just
want
you.
It would be memorable. It would stand out.
It is. Yeah. Everybody can sing with a great voice. It takes talent to be able to sing off key. So anyway, with that, I am so excited to have our dear, dear friend, co-labor.
Special ops.
Special ops, apostle, man of God.
Assassin.
Most tender-hearted man I think I've ever met in the world. Rob Burbeck, our international director, sitting right with us. And I am so excited that all of our friends that listen to Conversations with John and Lisa are going to get to hear from Rob this morning. People, let me tell you something. Just get ready, because your heart just going to be enlarged. Rob, welcome. We're so excited that you're here.
Bless you, John and Lisa. Lovely to be here.
Yes. Now, that accent is beautiful. Where is it from?
My accent is from Zimbabwe in Africa. I'm British. I'm now American.
You weren't always in the ministry. What did you do in Rhodesia, or which is now known as Zimbabwe? What did you do back then that was always interests me, and I always bring it up to you?
Well, John, my past, when I look back, I was in the Air Force for 5 years.
Yeah.
We had a war in our country, so as a young person, I was called up at a very early age. We went through a war situation for 5 years. I got fed up with that. I wanted to leave the country, but I couldn't. So I ended up joining the Prime Minister's office. I worked for the CIO for 5 years. We worked as crypto analysts. We worked as agent feeders, all sorts of things. So it was an interesting life.
Would your CIO be our CIA?
Yeah, it would be. That's the Central Intelligence Organization.
Yes.
Which would be comparable to the Mossad, the Israeli Mossad, or the KGB, or the CIA.
Wow, that's amazing. So all this strategic work that you did, I really believe God was developing you for what you would be doing later.
When I look back, I wondered at the time, where would this take me? Because we studied Russian, we broke codes in Portuguese and Spanish, we were intercepting the Cubans and all sorts of people, and they were just foreigners to us. They were the enemy. But the more I look back, that really prepared me for the future that I have. I met with presidents and prime ministers. We worked with all manner of people. And that really gave me an insight into the nations that today I look back and I said, that was surely the hand of God.
Wow.
But, you know, our country went through sanctions. We had very little. We were new believers before I was a believer. Amazingly enough, I used to run nightclubs and I had a mobile discotheque and all sorts of things.
I can see all of that. I can see it. And I love the transformation.
Would you believe I even had a radio show early in the
yes.
morning? I used to leave the CIO and ride down there on a motorbike and do an early morning show.
Okay.
And so I've come a long way since then. But, you know, I then, after the CIO, when the country changed hands, so to speak, I went into business very successfully. We had a major company, 300 or so employees, but I still wasn't fulfilled. You know, there was still something that we wanted in life. And one day we met this missionary couple, and they put into our hands three books. Now, we had no bookshop. We had a tiny little bookshop in the middle of the city, and my wife, Vanessa, she honestly used to spend her entire salary in that bookshop.
Wow.
I thought she was crazy, but she was just hungry for the things of God. And one day this missionary couple gave us three books. One was by Reinhard Bonnke, the other one was by Lauren Cunningham, and the third one was by Jackie Pullinger, a missionary in China. And I read those three books, and I felt that this was something that I needed in my life. And from there onwards, we connected with Reinhard Bonnke. We did a major conference for him in Harare, and I had never been so exhausted. We brought delegates from across the whole of Africa. I mean, every single country, we brought delegates. It was exhausting. It was the most strenuous, but yet most satisfying thing I ever did in my life. And after three restless nights, I mean, we didn't sleep. We were just making cassette tapes the whole time. We were preparing for...
We're that old. Cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember.
For those of you who don't know what a cassette tape is, just think of a DVD, which is now almost prehistoric. But that was our DVDs back then.
But go ahead. After that conference of blessing 3,000 foreign delegates from across Africa, I still think it's the largest inter-Africa revival conference ever held. And that transformed my life. I just knew I needed something else. And within a year, we had agreed to join Reinhard Bonnke and set up similar conferences across Europe. We left everything behind. We left like refugees with a suitcase each, two kids, $400, and we went into ministry. We had no idea what it was going to be. But when I look back, I know that was absolutely the hand of God.
Now, you worked for Reinhard for 22 years, correct? Is that
22 years full-time, but 3 years kind of part-time.
Right.
But when you work part-time for an evangelist like that, that's full-time too.
But how did you learn the value of books and getting books into the hands of leaders?
Those three books really showed me ministry. They showed me faith. They took me into a different dimension. I thought, I need that. And I honestly read those books at least two or three times each. One of them, the one by Reinhard Bonnke, fell to pieces eventually. And that really impressed me, that a solid resource, a solid teaching in the hands of somebody who has not will transform their lives. And that kind of planted a seed in my life for the work that I do today.
Well, you and I, when did we meet, you, Lisa, and I?
Well, you guys met together in England first.
Yes.
Before I was introduced to Rob and Vanessa. And what year would that have been? It was right after the Bait of Satan.
That would have been about the mid-90s, correct?
It was 1993.
Thank you for remembering.
I remember it well. David brought you around to our house. Our house was incomplete. It looked like a building zone.
It was in Birmingham. I remember that.
It was in Birmingham, England, mm-hmm. And you came into our lives. And
I loved your house, by the way. You were telling me how you had refurbished it, fixed it all up.
That was a work of love, believe me. That was a hard job. But even though I was fully committed to Reinhard, what you shared and what I felt in my heart about touching leaders around the world really resonated in my soul. And one of the reasons we didn't want to leave England was because we didn't want to lose that contact with you. And
you became a board member for us.
Yes, indeed.
Our European board member.
A board member. I think you realized, and I realized too, that something connected in the spirit.
Right.
And that your heart, my heart, were somehow intertwined. And we didn't realize how many years down the line it would be.
Right.
But I knew that I had to fulfill my commitment to Reinhard. And of course, when he grew older and slowed down a lot, I didn't want to slow down. And I recognized the need around the world to continue and to pursue that goal, to put resources into the hands of leaders.
And how many years ago was that, John, where God actually just started to speak to you about resourcing leaders?
Well, it was quite amazing how the whole thing happened. Reinhard was slowing down, getting ready to retire, and you had left the organization because our policy here at Messenger is we don't hire people from other ministries. And I remember you were gone from the organization for about a year, or it was 6 months or a year. Is that right?
No, it actually was the same day we decided, when suddenly you phoned up and said, Rob, Vanessa, I feel on my heart to invite you to dinner. I'm here in Orlando.
Oh, yeah. And I do remember that.
And, I mean, when you spoke to me, I thought, man, is this God? And I said, no, let me just pray and think on these things.
So I remember we went to dinner and we just continued our friendship and I kept up with you. And about six months later. Our international director had resigned to go work for Focus on the Family. And I was very happy for him because it was a passion of his. And I know that God had stirred in my heart to in a profound way, spoken to me to get resources into the hands of leaders overseas. And so I called you and I said, Rob, would you be interested in maybe being a little more involved with us? We had no idea what we were heading towards.
Yeah, it almost seemed too easy, John, because it was exactly what was on my heart and I didn't know how to bring it into being. And we had loved you all those years. We'd read all your resources. We'd set up meetings with you in England. And it was just like, it was really the hand of God. It was a perfect timing. Even though we said we need to rest and pray about this, in our hearts we leapt with joy because we could see what the possibilities and potential lay ahead.
And Rob, since then, how many countries have you been to? I mean, you can include the ones you did since you actually connected with us, but how many countries have you visited in the world?
All told, in the last 30-odd years, I've been to 156 countries.
Yeah.
Not just as a tourist to take photographs to see the Great Wall of China, but it was things that God impressed upon my heart in all those nations. And the majority of the work in visiting those countries has been for the sake of the gospel.
I think John and I can honestly say we do not know one other person that has more of a awareness of the pulse of the nations than you.
Yes.
And, you know, we can talk about this a little bit more in the next podcast, but we've seen Rob go into nations, be able to locate the leaders, locate the need, locate the timing of a distribution of resources that because of the generosity of our partners, we were able to give away free of charge, as well as in the last year, we've been able to do conferences where gather leaders. And, you know, in particular, I'd love to unpack this more in the next podcast, of Mongolia, being able to see what might happen. And really, to be honest with you, it's been yours and Vanessa's kind of faith and capacity at John and I saying, hey, if Rob says this is going to happen, this is going to happen. I remember when we were going to Beijing, you know, my life is just kind of compartmentalized. When we were landing in Beijing, I kind of looked at John and I was like, so wait a minute, how many people are coming into Mongolia? And John was like, I don't know. You know, Rob and Vanessa are saying the building will be full. And I'm like, okay. Praise God. If Rob and Vanessa say it, then it's going to happen. And it ended up that when we got there, the building was full. Arden came running out. You and Arden and the team had taken a dilapidated building and flipped it around, put toilets in, painted things. And all of a sudden, we saw that when the building was already full, 8 more buses pull in. And that is the kind of pulse that Rob has brought to Messenger International. He has been a forerunner where he goes and he meets with people and he sees things and he brings it back. And then John and I just say, okay, if Rob says it, then we're just going to go for that. And we appreciate that we have the kind of partners that get behind that and trust not only our ability to hear from God, but Rob's ability to actually understand timing and place.
And let me ask you this, and because I just really want to focus on you on this podcast. Next podcast, we'll talk about some of the things we've done together. What would be one of the most profound things you've ever experienced in any of these 156 countries you've been in that just impacted you, riveted you? I'd love for you to share it with our friends.
John, I think one of the most amazing things I've seen was in my days with Reinhard, to see over 1 million people make a decision for Christ in one meeting within just a couple of minutes.
What nation was that in?
That was actually in Nigeria.
Wow.
And I was taking photographs because I was also in charge of publications. But when I stood there on that tower looking down and seeing over 1 million people make a decision for Christ, and then later on in that same week, 1.3 million people praising in the Holy Spirit, it really changed my life. But yet heaven rejoices when a single soul comes into heaven. And you know, and receives Christ. And as I go around the world and I see the hunger of people for the gospel, as I see people weep when I place resources and Bibles into their hands, I must say that that too is an incredible life-changing experience.
And what about the scariest thing you've encountered?
The scariest thing? Well, I mean, in my lifetime, I've been shot at. I've been thrown into prison twice. I've been stuck in riots where I've watched Christians literally lay down their life to protect me. And so I've seen some very nasty things in my life. But throughout all those times, I wouldn't say they were scary. I just had this knowledge of the presence of God on my life. And time again, I've seen how God has protected me and kept me and strengthened me and prepared me for even greater things.
Can I ask you something, Rob? You know, we are seeing great and then horrifying things in the body of Christ. What would you say internationally, you know, stepping outside of America, what would you say is the greatest need and the greatest challenge for the church?
Worldwide, that's a hard question to answer because that varies from country to country. Of course, the nations that I focus my heart on and the ministry that we do together is in emergent nations, post-communist nations, nations that have come through persecution, that have come from places where there's just no church, there's no Bibles, there's no nothing. And the hunger that I see in people's lives, I mean, there's churches that just depend on one man's knowledge of the Bible. They have no resources. They have nothing at all. And when you go to these far distant places and you see emergent churches, when you see the passion and the desire and the hunger on their hearts, I mean, I've seen people squeeze into a building after walking 4 hours through the rain at night, and they've sat there waiting patiently to receive. And when you see their heart, you know that you're right on target. And I would say in all of those nations, the greatest need is leadership, but that leadership is undergirded by positive resources. And that's the work that we do.
You know, for those of you that are listening, at the end of this year, Rob and our teams all over the – because we have regions. So we'll have a team in Bulgaria. We'll have a team in India. We'll have a team in, you know, Egypt for the Middle Eastern speaking. Between Rob and our teams, we have, at the end of this year, distributed over 10 million resources to pastors and leaders in 83 nations. And so – we are sitting next to a very busy man who I have watched Rob. I think last year I remember asking him, in the last 6 weeks, how many nations have you been in? And he said 9 nations. So you're talking to a man that is, one minute he's in China, the next minute he's in Myanmar, the next minute he's in Laos, the next minute then he's flying over to Russia. It's just amazing what you do, and I'm so grateful for what you do. I know Jesus will really thank you one day in the most appropriate way, but my heart, Lisa's heart's just so grateful for us being able to work together and us being able to do this great, great mission that God has entrusted us with. It's a great entrustment. It's a very important entrustment, and every one of you that are listening, you're a part of it. Whether you pray with us, whether you give financially, you're a part of this. So we see it as one big team. And we want to thank you for your involvement if you're listening.
You know, you can check us out on iTunes. Feel free to give us some feedback. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you'd like to hear about, as well as you can make comments on the podcast you've already heard. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. God bless you.